Greetings, everyone. Welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week, and we're heard in more than 70 countries worldwide on the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and the Editorial Review, please visit my webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. And the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law news and current events, so stay tuned for tonight's special report on the science of milk right after this message. You know, over the past century, we Americans, who were once independent, capable, and able to manage our own financial, medical, and legal affairs, have now been reduced to dependence. We've been reduced to incompetence, incapacity. We've been made wards of powerful commercial, financial, medical, and legal corporations, cartels, and bureaucratic institutions of our modern industrial society. And we've been taught to rely upon these paid professionals, you know, professionals like bankers, to manage our financial affairs, and doctors to manage and treat our health problems, and lawyers to direct our business and legal affairs, instead of relying upon our own good common sense. That's why I contend that it's time that we Americans, who were once able to catch our own fish, learn once again how to fish instead of being fed by these paid professionals. You know, regaining our power of attorney is the single most important step in regaining our capacity, rights, liberties, and duties. Now, if you'd like to learn more about courtroom strategy and procedure, then why don't you write for my free general law CD package? It's educational, informative, it's entertaining. Best of all, it's free of charge. You can call and order yours right now. The number is 417-273-4967. If you're online, go to the website. Send me an email. That's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Click on the email machine. Send me an email request. Remember, that's georgegordon.org, or call direct, 417-273-4967. All right, last time I told you the story about how I cleared my own arteries out. I really didn't do it by myself. It was the cow's cream, along with the enzyme, and I want to emphasize, as I have in almost every one of these programs, that you want to make sure now that it's raw cow's milk, because if you're drinking pasteurized milk, you're going to kill yourself. And that's what this doctor Kradjian is pointing out in this website called notmilk.com. So make sure you go get this article from Dr. Kradjian. He's got a lot of good information in here. I'm only disagreeing with that part that, you know, is vegetarian and don't drink any milk at all and so on. Now, if you want to get good, clean cow's milk, about the best source that you can go to get it is to milk your own cow. That was my conclusion. That was my solution. I milk my own cow. And if the milk is dirty, I got nobody to blame but myself. Now, God said in Isaiah that he was going to put every man under his vine and fig tree. You know, if every man had 20, 30 acres for him and his family, and he had a milk cow, I think you'd have a pretty idyllic, it'd be almost like the Garden of Eden, wouldn't it? You'd have your own little garden. And you'd have your own milk cow and your own fruits and vegetables, and you can just feed yourself and just live life to the full. Well, Dr. Kradjian has a little more bad news. Listen to this. He says, all parents dread juvenile diabetes for their children. And a Canadian study reported in the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition in March of 1990, where it describes a significant positive correlation between consumption of unfermented milk protein and the incidence of insulin-dependent diabetes in data from various countries, and conversely, a possible negative relationship is observed between breastfeeding at age 3 months and diabetes risk. Ah, let me point something out. When I was a kid, I went through the public school system from 1944 through 1957. I never met a child in the years that I went to school that had diabetes. Now, that doesn't mean there weren't any. I'm sure that there must have been some, but listen, it was so rare. We didn't know of any. Today, juvenile diabetes is a common disease. This doctor says that there's a correlation with milk protein. I don't doubt that. I know there's a correlation between soda pop drinking and diabetes. And I wouldn't be surprised but what pasteurized, homogenized milk causes it also. But let me tell you, when I was a kid, everybody drank raw milk. That's what was there. You could get pasteurized milk, but you had to order it. Pasteurized milk in 1944 in Eureka, California was about like getting raw milk in Eureka, California today. I mean, you got to know where to get it and order it if you want it. It's available. People could get pasteurized milk if they wanted it. Now, the reason that pasteurized milk is so popular, especially among the people that produce it, is the shelf life. You see, once you pasteurize it and kill the bacteria, it keeps longer. Raw milk will only keep for 5 days. And it changes flavor every day that it's in the refrigerator. So I milk a cow, I bring it in the house, I strain the milk, and I put it in the refrigerator, and it's got a taste right then. It's got a taste the next day. It's got a different taste the second day, third day, fourth day, and fifth day. And sometimes it'll keep 6 or 7 days. Depends on the bacteria count in the milk. But by the fifth day, it's time to dump it out to the chickens and put in some new milk. Now, pasteurized, homogenized milk, you put that stuff in the refrigerator, it'll keep for 2 weeks. If it's irradiated, hell, you can put it on the kitchen table and leave it there for 2 weeks. I mean, that's just the way it is. And the correlation that this doctor puts with pasteurized milk and disease is phenomenal. Now, there's 19 pages in this report. I can't cover all 19, but I'm going to cover some of the highlights in here. Now, remember that the Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest. And these programs are archived on the Internet. I'm a lawyer. I'm a pro se litigant. I'm not a licensed lawyer, pro se litigant, and I'm an attorney in fact, is what we call that in law. Most people want to become an attorney at law so they can represent other people. I don't represent others. And then I teach a law school, so I'm called a law school professor. Now, don't think it unusual that law school teachers aren't licensed. 75% of law school teachers are not licensed to practice law. There's no purpose in it. They don't practice law, so they don't need to. Now, I do a lot of practice, but I do it for myself. I do a lot of cases. I've done 65 so far. 66. I just finished one this year. And much of the experience that you hear me talk about here on the air, many of the topics that you hear me talk about, aspartame, lawyers, law, politics, health, cancer, masons, witchcraft, the scriptures, the Bible, rights of individuals, vaccination, census, crime, evolution. You know, the scriptures are the foundation of these programs. And so I simply take topics, you know, like aspartame, take it from a biblical point of view and say, well, would God drink Diet Pepsi? Would God drink pasteurized milk? Would God eat a ham sandwich? You know, and then we just carry it through to its ultimate conclusion. Now, because I'm trained in law, I approach things from a legal perspective. I'm prepared to prove every material fact and allegation that I make. I'm prepared to defend this series of programs in federal district court, clear to the U.S. Supreme Court, or I wouldn't come on the air and make these claims. And that's just how simple that is. Oprah Winfrey spent over $1 million on her defense. That's because she had $1 million to spend, and because rich people spend more money with their lawyers than do poor people. The real cost of her case was about $40,000. And had she done her case pro se, she could have argued that case clear to the U.S. Supreme Court for $2,000 and done it from Chicago. Now, she had to go to trial down in Amarillo, Texas. But my point is, our Constitution is designed so that you, as a Joe Sixpack or Sally Housewife anywhere USA, can go into court and claim your rights. That's the design mechanism in our Sixth Amendment. You got that right. Counsel of your choice. And that's what these programs are all about. Now, the reason I bring this up is because all of these programs are archived on the Internet on MP3 format. They're in both 32-bit and 16-bit format on the Internet. Now, the reason we put it out here in 32-bit is because radio stations all over the world download this program and want to play it, so they want top-quality sound. We couldn't get that on Truth Radio. We tried for a long time. We're simply unable to do it for whatever reason. And we also put it in 16-bit so that you can listen to it. Now, most of these programs on the Internet are put out at about 8-bit, 12-bit maybe. So the quality is pretty good. And it's in MP3 format. And all of these subjects are on the Internet, on the archives, and you can access those archives for programs that go back here 5 years on subjects like aspartame. So I get constant referrals and constant requests. I'll say, well, gee, tell me about aspartame. Well, I can't tell the aspartame story every day I come on the air or once a week. You know, you tell the aspartame story and it's told, isn't it? So I've recorded that and it's on our archives. And all you have to do is go to georgegordon.org, click onto the archives, follow directions, and you can download these programs yourself. So when I give you these references or I tell you a story or something like that, these are recorded programs and they're recorded for years and posterity in the future. And you can listen to them at your leisure. Well, listen to this. The doctor goes on to say, we infer that either the pattern of cow's milk consumption is altered in children who will have insulin-dependent diabetes or their immunological reactivity to proteins in cow's milk is enhanced, or the permeability of their intestines to cow's milk protein is higher than normal. And again, when God designed milk, he designed it just right. But after you've pasteurized it and homogenized it, after you have put BGH, BST, and all of these other chemicals and all of these other things into it, this stuff is a toxic biological cocktail. I think that's what the doctor said here, didn't he? He said, you know, this is a dangerous biological cocktail. And I agree with him. Now, the latest in this remarkable list of reports, a New England Journal of Medicine article, July 30th, 1992, also reported in Los Angeles Times. This study comes from the Hospital for Sick Children in Toronto and from Finnish researchers in Finland. There is the world's highest rate of dairy product consumption and the world's highest rate of insulin-dependent diabetes. That's in Finland. The disease strikes about 40 children out of every 1,000 there, contrasted with 6 to 8 per 1,000 in the United States. Antibodies produced against the milk protein during the first year of life, the researchers speculate, also attack and destroy the pancreas in the so-called autoimmune reaction, producing diabetes in people whose genetic makeup leaves them vulnerable. Now, 142 Finnish children with newly diagnosed diabetes, they found that everyone had at least 8 times as many antibodies against the milk protein as did healthy children. Clear evidence that the children had a raging autoimmune disorder. Now, I want to point out another study that I saw was that Finnish dairy farmers were dying at age 37. And come to find out, the Finnish dairy farmers had bought into the argument that raw milk was dangerous, and so they sent their milk off to the dairy, and then they drank their milk pasteurized. I had a lady one time who was a nurse, and they had a beautiful Jersey cow, and she was pasteurizing the milk out of this Jersey cow. Now, the only purpose for having your own Jersey cow is so that you can have clean, whole, raw milk. I explained to this lady, been through medical school, of course, or nurse's school, what that enzyme was in the milk, and she says, oh, I didn't know that. Now, here's a lady been through nurse's school. They don't teach you very much about diet there, do they? I think you've learned more here on the Law Hour than most doctors and nurses learn about nutrition in going to medical school. And it doesn't surprise me a bit that these Finnish children have a high incidence of diabetes. And what it shows is that these Finnish children drinking pasteurized, homogenized milk gives them diabetes. I didn't dream that up. I'm just reading the study. And you've got the same information that I've got. Now stand by and we'll be right back. All right, you're listening to The Law Hour and the Editorial Review, sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Well, those who already walk submissively will say that there is no cause for alarm. But submissiveness is not our heritage, and the First Amendment was designed to allow rebellion to remain as our heritage. And the Constitution was designed to keep government off the backs of the people, and the Bill of Rights was added to keep the precincts of belief and expression of the press, of political and social activities, free from government surveillance. That's quite a statement, isn't it? Well, that statement comes from Supreme Court Justice William O. Douglas. That's right, a justice of the United States Supreme Court. Now, you know, our princes and our politicians beller in the halls of Congress for more taxes, more spending, and more gun control, but you and I haven't heard anything intelligent come out of a politician's mouth in more than 75 years. Now, have we? That's why I contend that the only real reason, logic, or common sense left in America comes from our courts. It certainly doesn't come from the political process, or the politicians, the lawyers, or the bureaucrats, does it? You know, old Mayor Rothschild summed it up with a flair when he said, "You give me the money power and I care not who makes the laws." Well, you know, I'd like to echo that by saying, "You give me the judicial power and I care not who makes the laws either," because the real power in America is in the courts, not politics. Now, if you'd like to tap into that power of the courts, why don't you call me here at the law school? The number's 417-273-4967. Be sure to ask for my free general law CD package. Remember, that's a four-hour commentary on the Gordon Law School. It's entertaining, educational, it's informative. Best of all, it's free of charge. That number again, 417-273-4967. Courtroom strategy and procedure is available on compact disc for adult home education. If you can't come to school, we'll take the school to you in your own home. If you're online, you can go to the website. That's georgegordon.org. georgegordon.org. Click onto the email. Send me an email request for your free general law CD package. Do it right now before you forget. All right, listen to this. How about leukemia? You know, this blood disease, cancer. It's blood cancer. Leukemia, lymphoma. This may be the worst, so brace yourself. Now, he says, "I hate to tell you this, but the bovine leukemia virus is found in more than 3 out of 5 dairy cows in the United States. This involves about 80% of the dairy herds, and unfortunately, when the milk is pooled, a very large percentage of all milk produced is contaminated. That's 90 to 95%. Yeah, I don't believe that. I believe 100% of the milk in America is contaminated. It may be that there are 20% of the dairy herds in this country that have clean milk. That may be. I don't know. I would be surprised if it's that high, but there may be. But listen, all of that fluid milk goes into a bulk tank. And it's a tanker truck that comes out to the farm to pick the milk up. So when he picks up my milk, that's 1,000 gallons. He goes to the next guy, picks up 1,000. You know, and this is a 6,000-gallon tank. So he picks up the milk from 6 dairy farms, or 8 or 10, and then he hauls it off to the creamery. Now, the creamery has some big tanks. I mean, these are big, big tanks inside this creamery. And these trucks disgorge their tankers of milk into bigger tanks from 2 or 3 other trucks. Come on, guys. Let's grow up and get real. Anybody that's got any clean milk, the clean milk is being poured in with the dirty milk. Clean means that it's got to be clean from the cow to your glass through every step. And by the time you've fed these cows BGH, and the cows have been eating pasture that has pesticides sprayed on it, and by the time you shoot penicillin up this cow's tit because she's got mastitis, and you milk that into your milk tank, and then you mix all this milk up, for this guy to say 90 to 95% of the milk is contaminated, I think is an understatement. It's 100%. There isn't a drop of milk in the United States of America that comes out of a creamery that isn't contaminated. And, of course, that was my complaint. I said, first of all, the milk is dirty. The milk is pasteurized and homogenized. It's GMO, BGH, BST milk. It has bypass protein. antibiotics, it's irradiated. Well, not in every case, but in many cases, it's irradiated and it's adulterated. So you've got these cows with leukemia. Now, listen. You want to drink a Coke after a guy? You know, you got a guy here who's drinking a Coke out of a bottle. He hands it to you and says, well, I've got AIDS. Here, have a drink out of my pop bottle. You want to do that? I can't imagine anybody wanting to drink milk that comes out of a cow that's got leukemia. Now, there's a lot of clean cows in America. The problem is that we're taking the clean cows and mixing the milk with the dirty cows. He goes on to tell us a little bit more. He says, of course, the virus is killed in pasteurization. So if the pasteurization was done correctly, what if the milk is raw? I mentioned that to you earlier. You know, even the guys that are producing raw milk for the commercial milk market, unless these guys are actually practicing organic agriculture, and there's a lot of guys that are doing it. I'm not saying that there aren't any commercial guys out there that are producing clean milk. It's just that their milk goes in with all the rest of the dirty milk, so what value is it? Now, let's suppose you got Stornetta raw milk from Napa, California. Is Stornetta feeding bypass protein to his cows? I don't know. I can't tell. Does his cows have leukemia? Or do his cows have leukemia? I don't know. Are they tested? I don't know that either. Does anybody care? I doubt it. I don't want to drink the milk, even if it's raw, unless I know that the guy is an organic farmer and knows the difference between BGH, BST, leukemia, organic farming, and he's a purist. I got to have a green farmer. This guy's got to be a greenie. If he's not, I don't want to buy anything from him. You know what you're putting into your body, boys and girls, is what your body is made up of. Now, you put in crap, you're going to get crap out. Now, the problem with health in the United States, and I suspect to a large degree around the world, is bad food. Our food is adulterated for profit. The Tyson Company doesn't give a rat's rectum about the cleanliness of their factories and plants. And when they get written up and they pay a $10 million fine or a $2 million fine, you know, it's like finding a movie star $30 for speeding or something. It doesn't have any effect on them. They just fined ADM $400 million the other day and they made an out-of-court settlement and said, okay, we'll pay it. So they got caught price-fixing once and paid a $400 million fine. Big deal. They didn't catch them for the other 10 price-fixing deals that they're engaged in, making billions off of. The $400 million's chicken feed. Chicken feed. Now, this is a worldwide problem. And one lengthy study from Germany deplored the problem and admitted the impossibility of keeping the virus from infected cow's milk from the rest of the milk. At least the Germans are pragmatic. It's impossible. Several European countries, including Germany and Switzerland, have attempted to cull the infected cows from their herds. Certainly the United States must be the leader in the fight against leukemic dairy cows, right? Guess again. We're the worst in the world, with the former exception of Venezuela, according to Virgil Holtz, MD, a milk specialist who also has a BS. Yeah, that's right, a BS in dairy manufacturing as well as a master's degree in public health. As mentioned, the leukemic and leukemia virus is rendered inactive by pasteurization. Of course, however, there can be Chernobyl-like accidents. One of these occurred in the Chicago area in April of 1985 at a modern large milk processing plant. An accidental cross-connection between raw and pasteurized milk occurred. A violent, virulent salmonella outbreak followed, killing 4 and making an estimated 150,000 ill. Hey, this is out of one of these pasteurization plants. There's no guarantee that this stuff is fit to drink just because it's come out of pasteurization. And after it's been pasteurized, we won't get the infectious diseases, we get the degenerative diseases. That's even worse. atherosclerosis and heart disease and stroke and cancer, diabetes and so on. Now, the question I'd like to pose to the dairy industry people is this. How can you assure the people who drink this milk that they were not exposed to the ingestion of raw, unkilled, bully, active bovine leukemia viruses? Furthermore, it'd be fascinating to know if a cluster of leukemic cases or leukemia cases blossoms in that area in about 10 to 30 years. I mean, you know, we're talking about decades to come before we're going to know whether or not these people are going to come down with leukemia, isn't it? Same thing with Jacob's Creutzfeldt disease. It's got a latency, you know. It can stay in your body for 10, 20, 30 years before you come down with the disease. That's not very good news. Now, it gets worse as we progress along, but I'll tell you what, I'm going to read you a little story. I think I've done this before, but I'm going to read it right here in this series here. This is from the book on the human, or the milk of human kindness is not pasteurized, and it talks about ice cream. Now, ice cream is a manufactured product that comes out of the dairy. We all like ice cream. I mean, whether you drink milk or not, you're going to eat ice cream. So let me read you this little story here. You need the scoop and ice cream. Now, if you're an ice cream freak like me, watching the manufacture of ice cream at Altadena Dairy is almost a religious experience. The temple is the storage area where rich, luscious, creamy, natural, raw cream, gorgeous ice cream is stacked three stories high, and Altadena ice cream is the only raw milk, raw cream, completely natural ice cream available in the entire United States of America on a commercial basis. Now, that tells you a lot about the status of our food supply in the United States, doesn't it? Now, Nero, Marco Polo, and King Charles were all ice cream freaks, as was George Washington. George Washington was crazy about the frozen delight. He kept two silver pots just for his ice cream. Dolly Madison served ice cream at the White House. Now, Altadena ice cream isn't cheap, and neither is Häagen-Dazs, Copenhagen, Mathis, or Shiloh Farms, other top-quality brands. But you know, along with ice cream and the cost and the quality, it doesn't always go together. And a survey in Chicago, for example, related one of the lowest-priced ice creams as the best and the most expensive as awful. They compared two, you know, the expensive and the cheap, and they said the expensive stuff was awful. This was a flavor test and had nothing to do with the nutritional value. People do not eat ice cream, boys and girls, because they're concerned about atherosclerosis or leukemia. Nobody cares about the nutritional value or the disease potential of the dairy products that they're buying. We believe... We have faith. I mean, people have greater faith and a deeper belief in the FDA and the USDA than they do in Jesus Christ, Moses, or the Apostle Paul. Christians and religious people do not believe Genesis 1, 2, and 3 are true. Don't believe Genesis 6, 7, and 8 are true. Don't believe that Jesus walked on water, or that his miracles were true, accurate, or correct, or that Jonah was swallowed by a great fish. They don't believe that. But boy, do they believe in the FDA and the USDA and the cleanliness and the purity of our food supply. Now talk about a fairy tale. The first commercial ice cream was marketed in the United States in 1851 in Baltimore, Maryland. The producers at that time did not know how to make ice cream. They thought that all you needed was raw milk, fresh eggs, cream, butter, and natural flavors. They did not understand today that a typical commercial ice cream contains skim milk, two kinds of sugar, our favorite waste product, whey, mono, and diglycerides, polysorbate 80, and gar gum chemical flavors such as vanillin, chemical colors, and carrageenan. The old-timey ice cream makers, they did not know how to make ice cream. Well, stand by. We're going to learn right after this. All right, you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Tonight's program, The Science of Milk. You know, we Americans may hold the dubious honor of being the most litigious people in the world, but when it comes to law, we're among the most ignorant in the world. Today, most Americans feel powerless to resist the evils that they see perpetrated against their liberties, privacy, and private property, especially by these powerful government agencies, multinational corporations, lobbies, and the news media. But you know, we don't have to remain helpless. Now, the institution designed by God and incorporated into our Constitution and Bill of Rights is called the judicial power. And it's the courts that are the proper repository for the protection of our rights, liberties, and property, not the Congress or the political process. Now, did you know that the privilege against self-incrimination is neither accorded to the passive resistant nor to the person who is ignorant of his rights? Not to one who is indifferent thereto, because it's a fighting clause, and its benefits can be retained only by sustained combat. It cannot be claimed by an attorney or a solicitor, and it's valid only when insisted upon by you, the belligerent claimant, in person. Now, that comes from United States versus Johnson. That's why I contend that we ought to listen more to the judges and a whole lot less to the politicians and lawyers. Now, did you hear what that judge said in that statement? He said plainly, your rights cannot be claimed by your attorney or solicitor. Your rights can only be claimed by you, the belligerent claimant, in person. Now, if you'd like more information about courtroom strategy and procedure, why don't you call me at 417-273-4967 and be sure to ask for my free general law CD package. Remember, that's a 4-hour commentary on the Gordon Law School. It's entertaining, it's educational, it's informative. Best of all, it's free of charge. You can order yours right now. Courtroom strategy and procedure is available on compact disc for adult home education. If you're online, go to my website, georgegordon.org. Click on to the email and send me an email request. That's all there is to it. An email request off of the website, georgegordon.org, and ask for the free general law CD package, or call direct, 417-273-4967. All right, I'm citing the ice cream chapter out of The Milk of Human Kindness is Not Pasteurized. Now listen to this. Chemical colors and carrageenan, that's only the beginning, and I'll come back to additives later when I tell you about the Alice in Wonderland story called The Standard of Identity. So write that down. You got a little piece of paper in front of you? Write down this. Standard of Identity. Now, with most processed foods, regulations require that the processor tell you on the label what the product contains. Granted, many of these regulations are vague enough, and although they don't have to tell you what has been done to the product, they must at least say on the label what has been added. But that is not true. Not the pasteurized, homogenized milk industry. They don't have to tell you what they put in there. You see, milk and milk products have what's known in law as a standard of identity. Now, I put that in capitals, and I quote it because it's a magical legal term that the bureaucrats of the Department of Agriculture and the FDA invented to allow the milk industry to get away with murder, or at least nutritional mayhem. You see, the milk industry doesn't have to tell you what is in the milk that you feed to your children, because the government regulators have given milk producers special dispensation. They have said essentially that everyone recognizes milk and milk products. We trust the milk producers. Milk is milk, and so they don't have to tell us what they're putting into the milk as long as they heat it before they sell it. Uh-oh. Do you know what's in that milk? Well, I do, and that's another reason why I wouldn't touch it. But you don't. But you didn't know what they were putting in there, did you? Yeah, I tell you, when you get a bunch of lawyers together with a bunch of politicians, and you mix that in there with a bunch of capitalist businessmen, give them a cocktail party and let them go to work, they'll kill you. Yeah, they'll kill you. You want to know why America's health is so bad? It's because your food supply is bad, and you believe in your food supply. You believe in the FDA. You believe in the Department of Agriculture. You believe in your representatives and your politicians. Okay, well, believe on. Now, if you think this is hard to believe, just ask the National Dairy Council, Rosemont, Illinois, 60018. Ask them to send you a copy of the publication B300-1, 1978, entitled Newer Knowledge of Milk. Table 3 on page 14 is very revealing. Now, they don't have to tell you anything about the nutritional content of pasteurized milk or ice cream. And they can add chemical colors, emulsifiers, stabilizers, chemical flavors, and nutritive sweeteners, that's sugar to you and me. And they don't have to inform you about that on the label. Now, Kellogg's Corn Flakes has to inform you. We got to tell you what we're putting into the corn flakes or into your TV dinner. We don't have to tell you what's going into your milk. And that's why they don't want to label the milk BGH. They know that if you knew what was in that milk, you wouldn't buy it. Now, the same brand may even be different from one week to the next. It might have a different formula next week. Now, that's the magic of this legal term called standard of identity. It's a confusing term, meaning simply license to deceive, a license to lie, granted by the legislature, granted by Congress. Now, grandmother never realized it, but ice cream is held together electrically. There are only 18 tablespoons of liquid in a full gallon of ice cream. Let me repeat that. In a gallon of ice cream, there is only 18 tablespoons of liquid in that gallon. It's mostly air, oil, and ice crystals suspended in water. Now, air, oil, and water don't mix very well. It's the negative electrical charges that keep everything in suspension and give us that sinfully delicious mix. And presumably, they could put WD-40 into the product called ice cream if they wanted to, and the poorer the ice cream, the more air and ice crystals. Now, what in the world is cheaper than air and ice? Now, the main ingredient in ice cream, besides air, is milk fat. Now, there's only one reason that the ice cream manufacturers use milk fat. It's not legal to call it ice cream if you don't use milk fat. You have to call it ice milk or something else. And they do. They've got products out there that don't have any butter fat in it at all. So with the current national phobia about cholesterol and animal fat, this may change. Non-dairy ice cream, like non-dairy everything else made from coconut oil and peanut oil, would seem inevitable. It's already standard in England. In fact, as the refinement of our foods continues, don't be surprised to find ice cream that requires no refrigeration. Just leave it in the box on your pantry shelf for a year, and when you're ready for some of the noble glop, just add water, mix it in your blender, and pop it into the freezer. Assuming you want to eat it cold. Now, we told you about using the human mouth as a disposal system. Well, back in our junk milk chapter, do you remember that? The ice cream makers do it too. Water pollution laws since 1960 forced the cheese companies to find a new way to dispose of whey. In the same way that the aluminum manufacturing companies had to, the aluminum smelters, had to find a way to dispose of fluoride. So the human gullet has proven ideal, and it's a cheap way to increase the milk solids in the ice cream to the legal minimum limit. So Dr. Philip G. Keeney of the Department of Dairy Science, Penn State University, commented, quote, "Nobody uses whey for positive reasons. It's a waste byproduct. They use it because it's cheap and because it's allowed. Whey has a metallic flavor that a buzzard wouldn't like. But enough sugar and artificial flavor will cover up most anything. If we can cover up the taste of fluoride and chloride in milk. Well, Dr. Keeney concluded, in a way, ice cream has become the sewage treatment plant of the cheese industry. Now we come to the bad part. See, so far I've been telling you the good stuff. Here's the bad part. When you order a banana split at your neighborhood ice cream parlor, you may get vanilla-flavored ice cream, chocolate, and strawberry. But you'll probably get a lice killer. It's called Iperonal. I-P-E-R-O-N-A-L. Iperonal. That's a lice killer for vanilla. You may get amylphenol acetate for chocolate and a solvent called benzyl acetate for strawberry. And the toppings will probably be aldehyde C17 for cherry, ethyl acetate for pineapple, rutilidihyde for nut flavor, and a paint solvent called amyl acetate for that great banana flavor. It's all economics, boys and girls. It doesn't have anything to do with you personally. It's just money. That's all. It isn't that we couldn't have banana flavor, nut flavor, strawberry flavor. I mean, we could get strawberry flavor from strawberries. We could get chocolate flavor from chocolate beans, but we don't. Aldehyde C17 costs 7 cents per gallon of ice cream. Real cherries cost 35 cents a gallon. Did you get that? It's just economics. Aldehyde C17 for cherry flavor costs 7 cents a gallon for ice cream. Real cherries, to get the flavor of real cherries, cost me 35 cents a gallon. Gosh. Well, you know, I save 28 cents a gallon. That 28 cents goes straight to my bottom line. That's my profit. Oh, you mean I'm giving you a paint solvent? How do you think paint solvent goes into your stomach and into your body? How do you think that your kidneys and liver and spleen react to paint solvent? I'm just asking. I mean, it's obvious it doesn't kill you in the first scoop of ice cream that you eat, but do you suppose that maybe over a period of years, 10, 20, 30 years of eating this stuff, these chemical additives in your food, that maybe it then one day turns up to be a disease like Parkinson's disease, Lou Gehrig's disease, muscular dystrophy, multiple sclerosis, cancer, heart attack, stroke? Has anybody ever asked the question? Has anybody ever thought about it? Now, there's over 1,000 different chemicals used in commercial ice cream. Let me repeat that. There are over 1,000 different chemicals used in commercial ice cream. Live better chemically. Now, let's go back to 1900. Back in 1900, when we were making ice cream, this is before we knew how to make ice cream, we thought all we needed was raw milk, fresh eggs, cream, butter, natural flavors. Now we got 1,000 chemicals that we can put in this ice cream, and we can do it legally because we've got the standard. Remember this magic word called standard of identity, a legal term. So we team up with business, chemistry, law, and the legislature. We stir in the big banks and multinational corporations. And what do you think that does to your health? Because in 1900, your chances of getting cancer were 1 in 33, and today, they're 1 out of 2, 50%. And they tell us by the year 2020, we'll have it perfect. 100%. Your chances of getting cancer from the year 2020 on will be 100%. Everybody in America will get cancer at least one time in his lifetime. But yet, I think we still trust, do we not, in the FDA, the USDA, the legislature, Tyson Chicken, and, of course, Kroger, Albertsons, and Safeways. Don't we? I'd say it's time that we took a look, good, long, hard look at big business, don't you? Hang on. I'll be right back. All right, you're listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review, tonight's report on the science of milk. You know, we Americans may hold the dubious honor of being the most litigious people in the world, but when it comes to law, we seem to be among the world's most ignorant. Now, today, most Americans feel powerless to resist the evils that they see perpetrated against our liberties, our privacy, and our property by these powerful government agencies, these multinational corporations, the lobbies, and the news media. But you know, we don't have to remain helpless, and the institution that was designed by God and incorporated into our Constitution and Bill of Rights is called the judicial power. And the courts are the proper repository for the protection of our rights, liberties, and property, not the Congress or the political process. Now, did you know that the privilege against self-incrimination is neither accorded to the passive resistant nor to the person who is ignorant of his rights, not to one who is indifferent thereto? And that's because it's a fighting clause. Its benefits can be retained only by sustained combat. It can't be claimed by an attorney or a solicitor. It's valid only when insisted upon by a belligerent claimant in person. Or so says the court in U.S. versus Johnson. You know, that's why I contend that we should listen more to the judges and less to the politicians and lawyers. Now, did you hear what that judge said in that statement? He said plainly, your rights cannot be claimed by your attorney or solicitor. Your rights can only be claimed by you, and you have to be the belligerent claimant, and you have to do it in person. Now, if you'd like more information about courtroom strategy and procedure, don't hesitate. Call me at 417-273-4967, and be sure to ask for my free general law CD package while you're at it. Remember, that's a 4-hour commentary on the Gordon Law School. It's entertaining, educational, it's informative, best of all, it's free of charge. Now, courtroom strategy and procedure is available on compact disc for adult home education. If you're online, go to the website, it's georgegordon.org. Remember, that's georgegordon.org. Click onto the email and send me an email request for your free general law CD package. Why don't you do it right now before you forget? GeorgeGordon.org or 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking about the science of milk. Last segment, we're talking about ice cream. I didn't think that the article written by Dr. Krajian, which addresses cow's milk, was powerful enough. The doctor is opposed to milk, period. So I thought, well, let me turn over here to the ice cream chapter on the milk of human kindness. It's put out by William Campbell Douglas, M.D. I'm going to give you an address here. This is a dynamite book, copyrighted 1985. Copple House Books Incorporated, Lakemont, Georgia. Why don't you write to Copple House Books Incorporated in Lakemont, Georgia, 30552. See if you can get a copy of this book. If you paid $100 for this book, it'd be cheap. It's a one of a kind. It's a one in 100. You'll never read another book like Campbell's book on the milk of human kindness isn't pasteurized. Hey, and he's a medical doctor. I think he's as good as Dr. Krajian, isn't he? And the difference is Campbell cites articles in support of milk therapy. You know, there's another side to the story. That's my point. I think you should get all of the evidence and all of the information and then make your decision. But listen, it's the refinement of our foods, and if it continues, it should just about kill us all. There's over 1,000 different chemicals used in commercial ice cream. And then how about those beautiful colors added to ice cream to make your little one's birthday a truly memorable event? You'll get tartrazine yellow to upset his little stomach, disamine red, 6B for red, and indiotine for blue. He can also be poisoned with amaranth, PonQE2R, and titanium dioxide. Coal tar dyes are the major source of artificial coloring. Many of them are known to be potent cancer-causing agents. You got that? Cancer-causing agents come from coal tars, and all of these colors are coal tar derivatives. Now listen, just thought I'd make your day. A single ice cream may contain as many as 55 chemical ingredients, and if you really go El Cheapo, you might get refiner's syrup as the nutritive sweetener. Refiner's syrup is the last liquid product of the sugar refining process. It's been described by technicians in the field as practically inedible. Refiner's syrup is the last liquid product of the sugar refining process. It's been described by technicians in the field as practically inedible. That's what's in your El Cheapo ice cream. You know, the stuff you get at Ryan's, you know, the scoopy stuff, you know, that stuff that just kind of pours out, you know, like snot. Well, you need a good emulsifier to make ice cream also. It gives its characteristic stiffness and richness. Grandmother, not being wise in economics and knowing nothing about chemicals, used fresh eggs from the hen house. Today, they use diethyl glycol. It's called an antifreeze, and polyoxylphylene, which is suspected of causing cancer. And they also use polysorbate 65. It deceives you into thinking that the ice cream has a high cream content. As a thickener, you may find dioctyl sodium sulfosoconate, which is a chemical used in medicine as a stool softener. Well, there's one good thing about it. You won't get constipated. One of the most common additives to ice cream is called carrageenan. When the chemical is added to water and fed to guinea pigs, they develop ulcers. Some scientists think it may cause ulcerative colitis in humans. Now, you may be asking, how in the world can they put this stuff into our ice cream? That's very simple. I told you this before. Now, let me back up here 4 or 5 pages. It's called the Standard of Identity. Remember, I told you, write that down. It's the legal term. Now, if you want the proof of this, I got to give you the address again. See if I can do that. Here it is. Ask the National Dairy Council. So write a letter now to the National Dairy Council. You want to know where I get my names, dates, times, places, facts, witnesses, and evidence. Rosemont, Illinois, 60018. Ask them to send you a copy of publication B300-1-1978 entitled Newer Knowledge of Milk. Now remember, this book was written, 1985, so it's about 19 years old. And I'll just bet you that they're not going to send you that publication, but I'll just bet you can find it. It'll be in the National Archives. It'll be, on Lexis or Nexus, or it'll be on the Internet or someplace. It'll be out there somewhere. Put your mind to it and see if you can find that little document. Standard of Identity. And we don't have to tell you anything that's going on in your ice cream or your milk. Yeah, that's right. Want to drink some more? I think you'd be better off to blow your nose into a bottle of Coke and slurp it down than you would to be to drink this crap or to eat it. Don't you? Don't let me get in the way now of your happiness and success. Now, we could tell you about the additive CMG. Commercial ice cream is loaded with sugar. Sugar causes diabetes, and according to Dr. Norman Kratchner of Stanford University, sugar is a major cause of atherosclerosis. A person with hypoglycemia, that's low blood sugar, may faint or have a convulsion from eating sugar-laden commercial ice cream. The convulsions may be from the sugar or from the chemicals or from both. And we could tell you about the additive CMC causing tumors and polysorbate 80 causing premature death in experimental animals, but I guess you get the message, don't you? If you want to go to an Eskimo pie in the sky trip, just eat some commercial ice cream. Something else you might want to know, unlike milk, there are no federal standards setting the maximum number of bacteria to be allowed in ice cream. So as we pointed out in Chapter 4, pasteurized ice cream has been a not infrequent source of food poisoning epidemics. They really get away with murder when they sell you reworked ice cream. Reworked ice cream. All right. This is another legal term. We got reworked in here. Passed by the legislature. This is lawful and legal. It's a euphemism for covering up stale ice cream and selling it for fresh. You see, they just throw it back in with the fresh, add more chemicals, and presto, we have more of America's fun food. Now, let's try this. You ever put ice cream in your freezer and it's been there, you know, for about 6 months, and you pull it out and it tastes like it came out of the wrong end of the cow? Well, that happens in the manufacturing, too. You know, I say, you know, let's suppose we turn out 30 tons of this chocolate chip ice cream, and we only sell 15 tons of it, and we got a warehouse that's full of this ice cream. What do you think we're going to do? Throw that away? Oh, come on now, boys and girls. It's nothing personal. It's just money. So we got to go to the legislature so that we can get a law passed. And that's what we do. See, we go to the legislature, and we get the legislature to pass us a law. It's kind of like the fat law. If I sent you down to the grocery store and I said, get me 5 pounds of suet, get me 5 pounds of fat, bring it home so we can cook it up and we'll have fat hamburgers, you'd look at me like I was Mork from Mork. Well, listen, we raise fat cattle in the United States, and when a cow is butchered, it has 25% fat. You know, the udder of a cow is solid fat. Do you think we're going to throw away a 40-pound udder off of a cow? Do you think we're going to throw away a bunch of cow fat, you know, around the kidneys of the cow? No. We're going to grind that up and stick it into the hot dogs. 40% fat in the hot dogs by law. The legislature has to approve that. Did you go to the legislature and sit on the Agriculture Committee and say, my God, there's not enough fat in our hot dogs. We need a law that requires 40% fat in the hot dogs. Now, did you go down and testify? How about 30% fat in your hamburgers down at Big Mac? Did you go in and testify for that? Well, you can damn well bet that Swift, Armour, and Tyson did. Yeah, they went into the legislature and they said, well, what we need is a law. And then the law is worded like it protects you. It says, if any meat wholesaler, manufacturer or distributor should put more than 30% fat in the hamburger, he shall be guilty of a misdemeanor and fined $1,000 and jailed for 90 days. By God, we got the legislature after these dirty meat processors now. Boy, if they catch them breaking the law, putting more than 30% fat in the hamburger, they'll fine them. Yeah, go out here and fine ADM $1,000, would you? Ah, come on, guys. Surely we got to be a little smarter than this. The reason that they want the 30% fat in the hamburger law is that we got 25% fat on the carcass. So we're going to put the fat in the hamburger, then we sell it to McDonald's, they put it in your hamburger, you eat this fat. Now remember, God told you, you shall eat no manner of fat. Leviticus 3:17, he wasn't whistling Dixie now through a straw hat. He gave you the straight skinny. This stuff is going to kill you. The food that is manufactured in the United States of America is specifically designed to kill you. And of course, I'm just in the food processing business. I'm just here to make a buck. It's nothing personal again. It's just making a little money. All right, I guess we've beat this horse to death. I was asked to comment on what I thought about this article here. It's called The Milk Letter, A Message to My Patients, Dr. Kradjian. And you can get this from notmilk.com. I recommend it. It's a pretty powerful article. And I also recommend Dr. William Campbell Douglas's book, The Milk of Human Kindness Is Not Pasteurized. Hey, I'm about out of time. So, let me tell you the story. You've been listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. For more information, of course, about the law school and The Law Hour, just go to my website. That's georgegordon.org. Now, the law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. For more information, again, go to the homeschooling page on the website at georgegordon.org. All right, I'm out of time. And I'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station. So, God willing, until then, good night, friends.